just to launch this conversation.
This is our playground.
They have spontaneous conversations. They don't plan this.
I mean, there's actually something sort of spiritual about that.
What's he do? He's a human being.
Yeah, I'm a sexist feminist.
We should be friends.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another edition of the Rob and Callie Show. I'm Callie Alpert, and
I'm Rob Kay. What's up, brothers and sisters? Welcome to another episode of the Rob and Callie Show. Tonight, we are sponsored by Gibraltar Home Improvements.
Yes, we are.
Thank you for your sponsorship.
Yes, and we'd like to shout out, every time we come in to the studio, we get very excited about our world map that tells us where a lot of our listeners are around the world. So we'd like to give a shout out to everybody from St. Louis, Buffalo, Vietnam, Korea, Malaysia, Puerto Rico, Taiwan, Beijing, and everywhere in between that always turns on my armchair traveler.
That's right. And Poughkeepsie. We forgot.
Yes, and Poughkeepsie. We are definitely very appreciative of you as well and everyone else,
right.
Wherever you may be. So, number one, before we get into our topic, I think we should address the weird, jiggy, very intense energy that is in the air. Every time we talk about it and think maybe it's just us, it's not. This time it feels like it's a universe. You're nodding, like, really, you're with me. You're with me.
Yeah, it's like, have you felt that? It's just been, I don't know, there's a lot of tension in the air, a lot of fighting going on, and a lot of confrontation.
Yeah.
It's like, easy, killer, it's summertime, you know?
we haven't fought, so we're proud to report that.
Yes,
but the night is young.
That's right. We got a half an hour, though.
But I just want to invite everybody to hold on, because it's going to clear. It's in the next, I would say, 36 to 48 hours, the fog is going to lift.
Callie has top secret spiritual information she's been given.
Because I've needed to hear, and I've been clinging to every word I can possibly get from anyone around me who has insight, wisdom,
right,
healing powers, juju, etc. So I would say, you know, July 1st is the auspicious, that's the day. So
yeah,
we are almost there. And we understand. We're with you in solidarity.
That's right. Take a deep breath, exhale, and welcome July.
So I'm going to start tonight's show with a question. Have you ever felt like you are a square peg trying to fit into a round hole?
Yes. I raise my hand. Do I go to the head of the class?
So tonight we're talking about feeling like a misfit or not fitting in.
Yeah.
And it's I don't know many people that probably have not felt this way. But it was prompted by a few things. It was prompted by a conversation we were having about a friend of yours recently. And then another thing, just quickly, I really want to give a shout out to a very genius writer in Portland, Oregon, who I've had the pleasure of knowing a little over the years, Lydia Yuknovich, who has the most beautiful TED Talk that she did just a few months ago from the Vancouver TED Talks about being a misfit. So don't miss that. It's a really beautiful, if you feel different or a little marginalized or a lot marginalized in your life, don't miss that. It's great therapy and it's a beautiful talk.
Yeah.
So I have felt like a misfit, I would say, all of my life. And what about, do you understand?
I do. I think we speak the same language of misfitism. So, you're from that tribe too. Yeah.
And we could work backwards. I would say, you know, now I'm happy to report that the more I kind of, you know, find my people again from whatever, you know, previous life or incarnation or just people I'm meant to know, you know, this time around, the less misfit I feel.
Yeah.
And that's a really special thing as you grow older and you get to know yourself better and you find your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was a kid, as you know, I was thinking about this, knowing what we were going to talk about, you know, I was lucky in the fact that my mother promoted individuality with my sister and I, and it was down to very simple things. Like, I wanted to buy a pair of Levi's and she wouldn't let me. And she would perpetually ask us why we want to be like everyone else. And she's a very individualistic lady. And when I was a kid growing up, everybody, you know, it's sort of a natural primal and societal thing that you want to be like everyone else. In fact, I don't even know that I know where that comes from. I guess it's just the idea of wanting to fit in or feel a sense of affiliation or popularity, whatever it may be, especially when you're a kid.
Mm.
And so while I was bothered by the fact that I was different, and just, you know, the people I hung out with, I was never super socialized or really hung out with the popular crowd. It was also taught to me that that was a cool thing. So I was kind of coming to this whole topic at an early age, unconsciously, mm-hmm. from both sides of the fence at the same time. And, you know, and as I, and it went from there, mm-hmm. you know, but it's definitely, the seeds get planted, I think, very early on, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. What about you?
I think, well, I've always felt like a misfit or sort of out of place, even from the time I was a young kid. I talk about being an artistic soul. I was this artistic kid. And so I always felt a little bit out of place. But I was thinking about the topic. I think everybody's a bit of a misfit. Mm. Even people, like I was thinking about somebody who's the opposite of me, which are guys that work on Wall Street and are just focused on making money and plugged into that machine and who are superficial, may not go as deep as some of the topics we have. Like, I think of those types of guys and I'm like, that's just not who I am. But I think even some of those guys feel like they're misfits or out of place, or at some point in their journey, they realize that making money isn't everything and they want to do something else in life. Or maybe they did the white picket fence and had two kids and realized that the marriage wasn't great and they got divorced. Now they're single at, in their 40s and they don't know what they're doing. So I think it kind of applies to everybody. Maybe it's part of the human experience, not feeling like you fit in a certain way or feeling insecure about who we are. And the suggestion I have to everybody, the early takeaway from the show, is just own it. Whatever misfit you are, whatever, you know, whatever kind of broken toy from that island of broken toys you
we
are.
We love that expression.
Yeah, it's like, just own it. Be it, whoever you are. And it's like, you know, I think misfit means that you don't fit into something. And maybe you don't have to fit into something. Maybe you can fit into your own thing. And it's very important, like you said, at least for me on my journey, when I finally found my spiritual tribe and people that spoke my language of the heart and were focused on other things besides just superficial things, that's when I really felt like I wasn't so much a misfit or an alien visiting from another planet. That's when I felt like I'd found my people. And yeah. then I felt like I belonged more.
Yeah. I also want to say that we invite any misfits or people that don't think they're misfits to tell us what that's like. Call in and share that. Tell us what
that
that's
like. That is so great, Callie.
Give us
yeah, tell us what that experience on Earth is like. Because that's obviously something that we haven't experienced.
And the number is 877.
So what is it like to feel really comfortable on Earth all the time? What is that like?
Yeah, now I really want people to call, only especially that contingent, because I need some insight into that.
That's right. In fact, if you're a misfit, Don't bother. Like, we know what that's like. If you're not a misfit and you're just comfortable in your own skin all the time, please call in.
And the number is 877-480-4120. Now hearkening back to, you know, my formative years, because again, I think that's when you really crave some sense of affiliation or a sense of feeling sort of cool or well accepted or whatever. And then I found one of my first tribes in the group of the actors, the theater group in high school.
Yeah.
And they were known as misfits and sort of the people that were living a little bit on the margins, yeah. very offbeat for all the obvious reasons.
There's artistic. There's a name in my high school, but it wasn't as nice as misfits, but I won't repeat it.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah, they call them drama fags.
Oh,
yeah.
It
was the 80s, and that so that's what they call the drama kids.
All right. Well, I guess I was one of those too, and
I was too. I was in drama. I was in musicals and stuff.
But I found it was I remember one scene, one particular, very, very, very clearly, where I was playing Anne Frank, and it wasn't the whole play. It was like we were doing a montage of different plays.
Was that the musical version, or that was the play?
Oh my God, where we could go with that? Where we could go with our dark humor, but let's. You know, the show goes quickly, so
I'm sure Anne wouldn't mind.
Oh my
gosh,
God bless
wherever
her.
She is.
Yes.
Anyway,
I would love to go there with you.
Yeah.
And I was getting ready. I was getting into character, and I didn't even know what that meant. I was a kid, and you know, so the director comes in, John Wald, who I had a mad crush on. If you're anywhere listening, John, you definitely influenced me. And he walks into the room and he turns the light off, and we do a little like meditation. I was like, what's that? Except for what I knew my mother to do, you know, twice a day. And he starts talking me through the idea of getting into character. And there was, at first it was uncomfortable because I had no idea what was going on. And then I realized how much peace I had in this moment and how intense it was to sort of have this moment of intimacy with somebody for a greater creative pursuit. And it was a very, very important moment that I haven't thought about in a while.
Yeah.
But it's when I first thought maybe there's something here where I can actually feel like I'm embracing something quirky about me or offbeat about me. And I think that's, you know, based on what you just said too, just finding a way to embrace yourself.
Yeah.
And just really own your, you know, all your parts in a 360 kind of way.
Yeah.
I think helps to realize that there's huge benefits to being different. If you can, because we're all, everyone's different.
Yeah.
And there's no one else on this planet that can, that is here to do exactly what you're here to do. So do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let your freak flag fly.
That's right. I like quirky people, you know, and I just like their quirks, like most of the time, you know, because it makes me feel better about my own quirks or insecurities or things that I think are weird about me or the misfitism that I, you know, go through. And that happens to apply to athletes. You know, I know athletes who have quirks that I like, and people even in like the entertainment arena, and maybe like some of the heroes I had growing up or people I really looked up to, like, you know, I've suffered from depression most of my life from the time I was a young kid, and I haven't really felt it in a long time, especially as heavy as back then. But it really took a weight off my shoulders when I read, I think it was a Rolling Stone article last year, the year before, where Bruce Springsteen said that he's been suffering from depression his whole life.
Right. I remember you bringing that up with me.
And that's one reason why he does these 2.5-3 hour shows, is because it was one of the ways that he helped alleviate his own depression. And it just made me feel so much better about myself. Like, oh, well, if Bruce can have it, the boss, you know, I can have it, you know? And I was thinking about John Lennon today. You know, him and Yoko were definitely misfits. And at a time where he had the spotlight on him and could have talked about anything in the world that he wanted to, the two of them got into bed and they had a bed in, and they were revolting or rebelling against the Vietnam War and talking about peace and love and writing songs about it and just bringing attention to the fact that, you know, we don't have to live in a world like that. And it's like, to me, that took a lot of courage, but also I think John was epitomized and personified being a misfit, but using it to his advantage to say, I'm courageous enough to be who I am, and I don't care what everybody else thinks.
Yeah, and I think that's the one of the lessons in being different, individualistic, unique, misfit, however you want to, you know, whatever word you want to use, is that it really, if you channel it the right way, if you embrace it and channel it, the amount of amazing art that can come out of it, you know, the amazing amount of contributions that can come out of all the, you know, the, all different mediums, just based on people that are made a little bit differently, you know, maybe even politics, if we're going to look at that now. But hey, who wants to talk about that?
You never know. But, you know, I think the political season is really interesting. We're not going to get into that much tonight. But one of the things that I really do want to talk about is home improvement.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know
I love when you talk about home improvement.
And Callie's like, I like how you segue. So anyway, like I said before, we're sponsored tonight by Gibraltar Home Improvements. And since 1979, Gibraltar has been serving the 5 boroughs of New York and Nassau County. They do really incredible work for any of your home remodeling needs, such as interior work on kitchens, bathrooms, basements, new flooring. If you're thinking about painting, any exterior work as well, roofing, masonry, siding, and windows. Really great guys. They're licensed, insured, bonded. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. So when it comes to your home and you want to alter, don't forget to call Gibraltar. Go to their website, GibraltarHI.com. That's GibraltarHI.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody, to our current edition of the Rob and Callie Show. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 877-480-4120. We are talking about being misfits, feeling different, feeling marginalized, alienated. And as I think more about this topic, I see it feels like there's maybe two groups on opposite ends of the continuum. Where maybe we could try to offer some takeaways. One is, you know, kids, people that are younger when you're forming and sort of finding yourself and looking for, you know, I would encourage everybody, number one, just to embrace your differences and find people that share whatever it is with you, whether it's just finding another artist in town or going to a group or some, you know, or, you know, whatever it is that that you feel like you want to share with somebody, just to kind of give you a sense of validation, affiliation. And the other sort of goes to the people that you were talking about earlier when you talk about, like, guys that are on Wall Street stuck in some mainstream construct and they haven't had a chance to find their way out of it or listen because they did the shoulds instead of the wants, which is really what a lot of this comes down to too.
Yeah.
It's sort of following whatever the shoulds are that are laid out before us, where somebody along the way taught us that that little kind of, you know, freaky side inside of us, or dark, not dark side, but just different side, or splintered side, or fragile side, or hurt side, doesn't have a place in your adult life. You know, and the more, I think the further away you go from that, the harder it gets to extricate yourself from a situation and honor that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think it's about listening to our intuition and who we are, not who society tells us we should be. And it's such a cliche we hear, but it's really true. We hear a lot of stories these days, actually. Ever since the 21st century hit, you hear a lot more mainstream stories about people that made a lot of money or had a lot of success or had the life they thought they should have, and it wasn't fulfilling and they were very unhappy. And then they made some really courageous changes and decided to be whoever they are that they may have not been honoring most of their life. And I think one of the themes that we talk about in the show a lot is courage. I think it's an underlying theme to almost every episode, every subject that we talk about, because it takes courage to say, well, I don't have to be like everybody else, or I don't have to do what they say, or I don't have to buy into that belief system or that value system. I can just have the kind of life that I want, even if sometimes I think that I'm doing it wrong, or that that, you know, sometimes it's a challenge to give myself the allowance to do that, permission to do that. So maybe someone listening to this is like, yeah, maybe I can give myself the allowance or permission to be out of line, or to be outside the box, you know, to color outside the lines.
I was just going to say that line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that expression.
Or to use, you know, maybe a whole different set of crayons.
Wow. Keep going. You got something else?
Yeah, I think I'm good for
visual
that.
Visual metaphor?
No, I'm all right. You go ahead.
Yeah, and now I just completely forgot what I was going to... There was something that I was going to say to that point. I also think that... the TED Talk that I referred to earlier, she speaks to this as well, which is, you know, misfit doesn't always just mean that you're coloring outside the lines, or that you're made a little differently, or you're a little quirky or a little unusual, or your interests are different. But also it has to do with your failings and your brokenness and the ways that your struggles and brokenness and splintered whatever experiences make who you are. And that there's nothing to be ashamed of, there's nothing to be embarrassed about, and there's nothing to really sweep under the rug, because that is what contributes to our uniqueness.
Yeah.
And that the more you own that and embrace it, and, you know, and look at yourself from a 360 perspective and really honor all the different parts and nooks and crannies, the faster you shine.
Yeah.
And the brighter you shine.
Yeah. Because it's really just honoring your basic essence. You know, and it's like, you want to talk about the pain is in the resistance, or things don't feel right. Well, it doesn't feel right if I'm not using the voice that I really have.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about Justin Timberlake. He got an award, I think it was last year, at the iHeartRadio Awards, and they gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award. And when he accepted the award, he talked about how he was the goofy kid in high school. He was the weird kid in high school. He was always making up rhymes by himself and doing a beatbox when nobody else was, and making up his own songs. And here he is, like one of the most popular people in the world, who has achieved such great artistic greatness already. And it's because he honored who he was. And he didn't listen to the average people or people telling him, oh, you can't do that. And yeah, I like a renegade. I just like somebody who goes against the grain and does their own thing. One of the ways that we came up with this topic is I started to do online dating again. And I met this girl online.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, so that's, no, we're going to do another love and sex show.
Because we have a lot to say.
Yeah, it's just, we actually do.
Ooh,
it's
we
just,
have, we do.
It's just that, you know, I don't know. I haven't really met somebody where there's anything long term. So I haven't felt like much to talk about. It's New York City, dating in the city, y'all. It's a lot of fun and it can be, you know, an adventure. Anyway.
Or dating in the suburbs.
That's right. I forgot. I want to include Jersey there. So anyway, so I met this girl and we were talking, and this is a common discussion I have with women or, you know, people that are in their 40s, where people talk about how their friends they used to run with or their group of friends in their 20s and 30s eventually paired up, got into relationships, got married, started to have kids. And so the single people feel a little left out sometimes, they're a little lost. And it's, I'm just picturing all these single people in the city roaming around looking for other single people. But it's true. And we were talking about how we sort of feel like a misfit about that, where especially me moving from Brooklyn back to the city a couple of years ago and having to make new friends in the city. And a lot of my friends have moved away or they paired up, had kids, you know, that kind of thing. And just how we sort of feel a little odd, you know, and how to deal with that, you know.
Have you learned how to?
One day at a time. I'm figuring it out. You know, I have always been a late bloomer, and we had a show about this, and I always say late bloomers bloom large. And so I think one of the ways,
amen,
that,
brother.
Yeah. One of the ways that I don't fit into the norm is that I usually have experienced things later in life than most. I mean, from puberty on, I mean, everything has been later for me.
I don't know. Get into all those details.
No, I'm just saying I've always been like, you know, one of the last guys where I'm like, oh yeah, that's what this is like. So as far as, you know, lots of things in life, there's a theme there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, even like for me professionally, I can really relate to this topic as well, because I would say up until my early 30s, I didn't even realize that I could try to integrate my different sides, because I'm very split down the middle. Well, on a few levels, but one is that, you know, I'm such a bohemian hippie child, free spirit who just wants to romp in the daisy fields all day long and really does want to. And then the other part of me that's a really, you know, ambitious, driven businesswoman and really always strives to have a thriving career and creative outlet that makes money.
Yeah.
And I'm really both of those things. And I struggled for so long trying to integrate that. And it wasn't until I was in my early 30s, actually through a boyfriend that was made very similarly, who encouraged me to do that. And then even years since, really trying to find, be myself in jobs where I didn't have to choose one personality over the other. I think a lot of it is just internal, because your outside world reflects your internal world. If you just decide that you want to embrace yourself and make that decision, I think the outside world starts following in tow. So it's just, you know, I can offer that as just a little bit of encouragement to anybody who feels like, you know, it's more easily said than done.
Well, I remember Amy Poehler said about Louis C.K. that the coolest thing about Louis C.K. is he doesn't think he's cool.
Yeah.
And she thought, like, that's the coolest thing about cool people, or people are cool when they don't think they're cool, you know? And it's true. And it's like, you know, I think it's such a high school theme that a lot of people bring into their adult life and still trying to be a part of the crowd. And it's like, it's really interesting outside the crowd, you know, and there's a lot more going on than just carbon copies of everybody else.
Yeah, it's way more fun. It might be a little harder and more painful sometimes, and you feel the highs and the lows maybe differently than people that just sort of stay in a sweet spot in the middle all the time.
Yeah.
But it definitely is more fun.
Yeah.
Burning Man is a great example. I mean, I could talk about that forever. And it's now a harder experience to have. It's expensive. It's effortful. But there are other mini versions of that. But that's where, as I like to say, black sheep graze together. So find your black sheep and hang out.
Mm.
That's just a really nice way to really start feeling more comfortable with your own differentness.
Mm-hmm. That's a good metaphor. I like that. Did you come up with that?
I did, to the best of my knowledge. I wrote it once in a chapter for a travel book that I wrote. So I use that terminology. Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah, thanks.
So, yeah, we suggest to everybody, be who you are. Whatever that is, whoever that is, whatever you like to do, do it.
Amen. So with that, do we want to talk quickly about some changes that are going to be going on with us in the very near future?
Yes.
Exciting stuff.
Lots of exciting stuff.
Thanks to popular demand, we are going to be expanding to an hour show.
Yay!
Thank you. Wow.
Go
wow,
Robin Kelly.
The live audience here is very impressed. So we'll be, please just continue to stay tuned to Talking Alternative Broadcasting, where we will be posting the details of that. We're probably going to be changing to Tuesday evenings, 8 to 9 p.m. instead of Wednesday evenings. And what else? Anything else we need to plug for now?
No. If you want to send us your suggestions for topics,
yes,
or if you want to be guests on the show, yes, please contact us at therobincallyshow@gmail.com.
And if you'd like to learn more about me, please check me out at callyalpert.com.
And if you want to learn more about me or get a life coaching session, go to robk.com. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening.